You are Locked On Rays, your daily Tampa Bay Rays podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, my name is Kevin Weiss.
I'm Ulysses Sombrano.
And I am Evan Klosky.
And we are the host of the Locked On Rays podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for making us your very first listen every day. Be sure to check out and subscribe to our YouTube channel at Locked On Rays, as well as all the other podcasting platforms. You can also email us anytime, lockedonrays@gmail.com. Evan, what do we do about this yucky bullpen?
That's a great question.
Do you have a solution?
Solution is time. I wish I did. There are some names, like literally scouring through Baseball Savant and kind of looking through different pitch movements and people who have kind of elite stuff in one or two pitches.
So you're doing Peter Bendix's job for him.
I'm sure they're well ahead of me. And I'm sure they have a laundry list of candidates, but you know, there's only so much you can do, you know, on May 25th, right? We have to work in larger sample sizes. The bullpen arms work in the smallest of sample sizes. We have a long history of understanding this franchise wants to try and not move faster than they should, considering, you know, look at guys like Walls, Lowe, Raley, dudes who maybe didn't succeed right out of the gates, and they've given them more leeway to kind of come back and make something of themselves, and they've been a bit more productive. But we also know that bullpen arms are highly volatile, unless you're going to spend big on, you know, the Edwin Diaz's of the world, for the most part, or, you know, the Mariano Rivera's, I mean, so on and so forth. We can name, you know, Trevor Hoffman, we can name those guys. But for the most part, it's year in and year out, you're dealing with a wide spectrum of how reliable you are. And, you know, for instance, Jason Adam had a sub-2 BABIP last year, and you were going to assume that he wasn't going to be as fortunate this time around. Last year, he only gave up 5 home runs. He's already given up 4. So there, he's hitting too much of the plate. You know, the Rays say, hey, just fill up the zone, and trust your stuff. His stuff has not been good enough to beat hitters when it's landing smack dab in the middle. But yes, there's a bullpen problem. How you fix it, time will tell. And we will see. But they will do something about it. When? Be patient. They're 35-15, probably going on 36-15 as of this recording. They're leading 7-3 against the Blue Jays. So they're not in any rush, but it is a problem. And I guarantee you that front office knows it's a problem.
I'm glad to hear that. We were talking about on Thursday's episode where if you look at, you know, all of the season's stats for the relief core, ERA 24th, WHIP 17th, walks per 9 12th, K per 9 30th, hits per 9 19th, home runs per 9 19th. That at best case scenario, Evan, that screams mediocre to me. So
is that with the Raley Bethencourt outings in there?
I mean, probably, yeah. Okay, fair enough.
There's a double-edged sword there. So you have those, that outing or those couple outings in there. Yeah. I do like to say, you know, people were banging the drum like, look at the bullpen stats. They're better than you think, yada, yada. And it's like, well, you know, Yonny Chirinos was out there throwing up a bunch of zeros in a bulk inning role. Josh Fleming has munched in that bulk inning role. So. Yeah. The stats are a bit deceiving, and it's a bit concerning that you have to send a guy like Ryan Thompson down, who you thought entering the year was maybe your seventh inning guy. Maybe that, like, you know, that next tier behind Fairbanks and Adam was Thompson in there. And, you know, now like Thompson gets sent down, freaking Kevin Kelly is emerging as sort of this number two in this. Like, very soon we need to be talking about Kevin Kelly maybe being more reliable than Jason Adam. And that's not just out of the performance that happened against the Blue Jays. It's just what he's doing right now. He's finding a little bit of a rhythm. And he's actually been falling on a lot of bad luck. He's not walking batters. He's just getting peppered a lot. And there's a thought that his BABIP will go down significantly over time, which means that out of all the arms in there, he's due for the biggest progression as far as not getting his ERA and all this stuff, that kind of trickling down due to the amount of singles and doubles he's given up. It's been crazy.
Evan, I have a question. So you brought up the point of bullpens being very volatile and they can change on a dime. And that is accurate. That is true. That's as old as time. But is there not some middle ground in the sense of Ulysses and I talked about this on Thursday's show with, you know, maybe in free agency going forward, you find that Colin McHugh or that Chris Martin, what the Red Sox did with giving Chris Martin a 2-year, $18 million deal, and he looks tremendous. We're not saying you have to spend, you know, go after that Mariano Rivera, Edwin Diaz name, but a guy who has shown some consistency and productivity in various roles and try that out as a possible solution as opposed to rolling the dice with name after name after name.
Hindsight's 2020. I mean, how many times have they spent big on a reliever in free agency before this? And like
Colin McHugh? I mean,
if there's any hindsight 2020 move to talk to Peter Bendix and company about, it's giving away a guy like Brooks Raley, a guy who I think is still pretty effective and would have been a great help to this bullpen. You know, you signed Brooks Raley and then you kind of shipped him off immediately after a year of, you know, he wasn't like a lockdown guy per se last season, but he was very good. And his stuff still plays. So I don't know what they kind of saw there. Very limited additions. You know, this organization has made a killing on finding diamonds in a rough in a bullpen. They've made a killing on shuttling guys from AAA to the majors and, you know, up and down, up and down, up and down, and making it work over the course of a season. Now, the one issue they have this year versus, I think, other years, and we learned a little bit about it last year with Fairbanks and Cleveland, but you have to, when you get down to June and July, you have to start thinking about who is my eighth inning guy, who is my ninth inning guy. And then who's my ace in a hole as a seventh, sixth? You know, you have to start thinking about those routes. Now, I think the Rays are littered with dudes who can pitch in a sixth and a seventh, right? They can kind of get you over the hump. But come playoff time, right now, Jason Adam does not look good enough. And that could change. But right now, Jason Adam does not look good enough to pitch in the postseason in high leverage spots. Right now, Pete Fairbanks cannot pitch below 60 degrees. So there is a true concern over who is the guy that you're going to give the ball to in crunch time to make sure that this team wins at the most pivotal part of the season. Because what the number one critique that I have on this front office, and right, we brought it up with Cash last week or a couple weeks ago, whatever, is that in playoff time, enough of the sample size, the stuff that you are able to lay out over 162 and that makes this team so good, that doesn't work in the playoffs. You're dealing with one ofs. You're dealing with tonight. And this, like, there is no tomorrow sometimes. And I need this guy to be dominant right now. And without the weather being an issue, I'm cool with Fairbanks. It's just, that's a concern. So they need to account for Fairbanks maybe not pitching on the road in the playoffs. Like, I need to mentally think that Fairbanks is going to pitch game one and game two in the Trop, run him out there twice, and then prepare for him not to go 3-4, depending on the location. You know, if you play the Yankees, that's going to be a problem. So those are the things that, you know, with fans, I do think that as we trickle closer to the deadline, get into more of the summer, we're going to have a real serious discussion of what the organization is willing to pay for a high leverage guy. But in the meantime, I would like to see them maybe kind of make some smaller trades and some darts to see if Lightning can strike with some of those dudes. But, you know, remember, this is an organization that traded Willie Adames for Rasmussen and JP Fireisen. So they've made a big deal to get pitching help, especially, right. You know, at that time, Rasmussen was a bullpen guy. So they saw two guys that they thought could help them on the back end. They made it happen. They traded a pretty darn good piece in Willie. So I just want people to be prepared that you want a reliever. Great. They don't grow on trees. You want to get some of the Fireisen and Rasmussen weren't necessarily like these household names. So, and you gave up Willie for him. So, you know, there are going to be names floated out there. I think I saw someone say like, yeah, I want like Devin Williams or Diaz from the Reds. Like, okay, you like Junior Caminero? Cause he's going to have to go. And it's like, I don't know if I'm willing to part with that, especially this Rays organization. They need those guys. Yeah. They're not spending as much money. Like those guys need to be in your hopper.
Go to MLB Trade Values, plug in Vidal Brujan, Jonathan Aranda, and see what type of reliever you can get back for that.
Exactly. That's the type of giveaway that I think most Rays fans would be okay with. But, you know, again, that's a whole other thing. And I want to ask you, Evan, about job security. But before I do, I got to tell you about something that just makes me feel very secure about myself. And that's Bird Dogs. My goodness. Every time I put on a pair of Bird Dogs, there are three things that come to my head. Fit, comfort, and versatility. The fit, I look better and I feel great wearing Bird Dogs. The comfort, the stretchy fabric is so dang comfy than any other shorts and pants I have in my closet. And number three, versatility. They give me the freedom to wear one whatever I may be doing, the Bird Dogs are there with me, giving me that great look. So today, you got to go to birddogs.com/lockedonMLB. And when you enter promo code LockedOnMLB, they'll throw in a free custom Bird Dogs Yeti style tumbler with every order. When was the last time somebody said, hey, that looks good on you? Well, if you get a couple of Bird Dogs, they will say that to you in your face and you're going to love it. So go to Bird Dogs.
Even Kevin gets compliments.
Even Kevin gets compliments in the golf course. So he's like, oh, man, you look great, Kevin. That might have not been the great shot that you wanted.
Oh, no. Don't say that about not a great shot, because the first time I wore my Bird Dogs on the golf course, Ulysses, you've heard this story. Evan, you're hearing it for the first time. 5 over across 13 holes, then got rained out.
Look at that. So it even improved.
He could have been even par. We don't know.
It improves your golf game, people. So go to birddogs.com/lockedonMLB and get that promo code LockedOnMLB in it, and you will get that free custom Bird Dogs Yeti style tumbler. Hey, guess what, guys? We are recording this on Wednesday evening. The Rays are victorious, which is fantastic news. But I want to ask you one last question before we move on to baby giraffe Tyler Glasnow making his return this weekend. Job security. If you were to name, before you've even given me names, Evan, what's the number of guys in the bullpen that you say, oh, no matter what, they have a job. Their job is secure. How many of those guys do you think right now are in that bullpen? Give me a number.
I gotta go through this. So Fairbanks for sure, Adam for sure, Kevin Kelly for sure. Man, it sucks that Clevinger is not on this team anymore. Poche for sure. That might be it. I think that might be it. Am I forgetting somebody?
No. I was going to go with four. You threw in Kevin Kelly. I had thrown Jalen Beeks instead of Kevin.
Oh, sorry, five. Beeks.
So you're five right. For you. Yeah. Four for
Beeks
me.
Beeks has been working as an opener, so I haven't been thinking of. Yeah,
that's okay. You're right. Kevin, you had two or three on you.
I think I had two. I was just like drain the swamp.
Two?
So Yeah, so job security, again, like, who are definitely not going to go?
Look, the Rays will trade anybody and everybody on their bullpen at some point. So
my point with this, Evan, is none of us said all of them. Yeah. So there are spots to be earned. There are spots to be taken. Ben Heller just got the call. He's a guy that is doing things in AAA that nobody in that Rays bullpen is doing, which is striking people out. Okay. Again, this is a team that is last, dead last in K per nine in MLB. That's worse than Oakland, people. Don't tell me it's not a problem. It's worse than Oakland. Have you guys seen Oakland? So what about that job security? I mean,
to be fair, you know, like, I don't know if anybody's seen Oakland.
That's fair. That's a good point.
Nobody's there. Does a game actually happen?
They need to be, what do they do in soccer where they relegate teams to the minors or a subpar league?
I would love that.
They should do that with the Athletics.
I would love that to happen in baseball. So Evan, what do you think if nobody said in this podcast, hey, everybody's got a job security, how many moves do you see ultimately being made for this bullpen to work? One, two, three?
You just don't know, right? Because you don't know if Ryan Thompson goes down to Durham, something clicks, and he's back, right? And, like, you know, I watched Trevor Kelly, and when I watch him pitch, I'm like, man, I don't understand how people hit him, and then he just grooves one down the middle, and I'm like, oh, that's how. But there's, like, a bunch of guys that I like. It's not clicking right now. It's just they're just off, and there could be in this, you know, the front office could be saying, as bad as it looks now, come August they might be peaking at the right time. As much as I say this is a problem and they need a high leverage guy, I firmly believe that. I am also of the belief that we need to be a little bit more patient. So I just, again, They've lost 15 games. You know, the bullpen hasn't been that big of an issue. The difference with the bullpen is probably us talking about this team being a historic squad versus, you know, chasing like the Mariners, refuse to lose squad. So whatever, you know, the run differential, whatever, you know, they freaking lose 20-1 and they blow that up. Just don't worry about that stuff. You know, you win 116 games in a season, it doesn't make you the World Series champions. I believe the Mariners fans would have traded in all those wins for, you know, a title that year. So
should they be worried about the fact that you said, yeah, the Rays are having a historic season and right behind them, oh, I smell something. I smell birds from Baltimore real close, even though the Rays are having a historic season. Should you not do something about the only flaw that you have to get that separation to happen?
You can't do things based on what other people are doing. So, like, you know, first off, the Orioles, last time I checked, are still looking up at the Rays. So, you know, what the Orioles have is a phenomenal bullpen with Cano, Batista, I don't know.
Guys who come out of nowhere.
I don't know, but that guy, the Columbe, I forget what his name is. His stuff is nasty. So, like, I mean, for me, they have, like, bing, bang, boom. Like, yes, they're set, 7, 8, 9, as long as they don't have an injury. So they have that. But they don't – you know, they're going to have to probably call up a couple of their top prospects to help out their lineup. It is not as stout as the Rays. So, like, you know, I mean, that's what's going to happen come trade deadline. You see it all the time in hockey, too. Like, maybe if the Orioles make a big move for a bat, you might say, well, we got to solidify something on our end. But – you know, the Rays just have to kind of focus on themselves right now, right? Don't worry about the standings. We're not even at the All-Star break yet. Right now, it would be an epic collapse for the Rays not to make the playoffs. So in your head, you have to really design things as how this team is going to perform in the playoffs. Now, I agree, it would be nice to have a bye into the next round. So for them winning the AL East is a huge deal, and we'll get to that point. But you know, guaranteeing a split against the Blue Jays as they just completed that win. That's huge, right? They're still the best. They still have the best record in the AL East of all the AL East teams. So they're taking care of business in their division, right? They had a soft April. They have a really tough May. So I think entering the month, in my opinion, going 500 was really like the goal. Anything above that is gravy, and they're taking care of business there. So it's not a surprise that the Rays have been a little bit faultier in May when the competition has been crazy good. Yeah. So that's not, don't worry about that, right? Like the Orioles have to go through their runs too of that stretch. I mean, on the back end, the Orioles, I think, have like a 10-game road trip near the end of the year. So the Rays already got that out of the way. The Orioles are going to have that come crunch time. So don't worry about that. Take care of business. Rays are crushing it and continue to tinker and see what your bullpen has, you know, and, throughout Zach Burry there in kind of a 5-1 situation. Okay, that didn't work. Send him down. You know, Zach Littell was given an 8th-inning role after showing some promise. Didn't work. I mean, he landed on the IL. But, you know, Cash has to try some of these guys out and really test them, and it's going to frustrate fans. And that's what May and June are about, because once that All-Star break hits, no more messing around. Now we got to focus on how we're going to close the year. But this is kind of play around a little bit. It's okay.
What should help matters is Tyler Glass now returning, being implemented into the rotation. So assuming he throws a complete game every time he goes out, that alleviates the bullpen. All joking aside, I would think having Glass now back in the fold and maybe continuously, constantly getting 6, 7, 7 1/3, I don't want to get too greedy, should at least take some pressure off of the bullpen.
For sure. I say that, and you just never know, right? I mean, McClanahan had 82 pitches going 7, and still they handed over to the bullpen, which I don't necessarily blame, because on paper, Adam and Fairbanks should be 1 and 2. These are our shutdown guys.
Yeah.
Glass now went 6 in Durham. I would imagine 6-7 is well within the realm.
Sure.
And having him, Eflin, McClanahan, those are guys who should eat up 6 and 7 every time out. That means that you're going to need those bulkier guys for the Taj Bradley outings, where he has yet to go more than 5 1/3. He is a young, promising talent learning how to be efficient. That's the common thread for any young pitcher. And then there's also the Fleming days, which are bulk days. So it's big to have Glass now exactly for that reason you mentioned. It's big to have Glass now back because I think that, and I don't say this lightly, I think he's as good, if not a little bit better than McClanahan when he's hucking. So, and McClanahan is an all-star. So my expectations of what Tyler's going to do are through the roof. People forget he was a Cy Young caliber pitcher before his injury going down with Tommy John. So, you know, when he's on this mound, I'm really excited to see what he can do against the Dodgers lineup that's stacked. And this is a huge boost to a team that really needs to rely a little bit less on its bullpen and a little bit more on what their starters are doing, which, generally speaking, has been pretty phenomenal.
I have two questions, but first, I think, Kevin, you need to tell us what to do with our green Skittle sometimes.
That is utilizing Rocket Money. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels those unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills all in one place. Did you know that over 80% of people have subscriptions they forget about, and chances are you're one of them? Like that silly Stars app just to watch one single show, or that free gaming trial you never actually used. Well, Rocket Money will quickly and easily find your subscriptions for you. And for any that you don't want to pay for anymore, just hit cancel and Rocket Money will cancel it for you. It is that easy. Rocket Money also helps you manage all your finances in one place and automatically categorizes your expenses so you can easily track your budget in real time and also get alerted if anything looks off. So stop throwing your money away, cancel unwanted subscriptions, and manage your expenses the right way and the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/lockedonMLB. That's rocketmoney.com/lockedonMLB. I'll say it a third time. Rocketmoney.com patreon.com/LockedOnMLB.
Before we get to baseball trivia and name that war, Evan, I need two quick hitters from you. Number one, over under for Tyler Glasnow, start 5 2/3 innings. Over or under?
Over. I'll go six.
Fair enough. And last question before baseball trivia. Who wins this series, Dodgers or the Rays?
I'll go Rays.
2-1 sweep. What's it going to be?
They'll go 2-3. First off, whoever decided to schedule the 11:35 Peacock game on Sunday, thank you. It's always great to play a West Coast team at 8:35 in the morning their time. So
yeah,
you got to win that game to me. And yeah, I mean, you know, the Rays are a phenomenal home team. I'm going to go with the odds there. What, they've lost 4 total games at home this season?
Yeah, but the problem is that the projector starters are Cooper Criswell, Tyler Glasnow, and Tosh Bradley. Now, on the other hand, it's only Clayton Kershaw, the big name, Noah Syndergaard, and Gavin Stone. But I don't know. It's going to be tough, I think, this series for the Rays to win 2 out of 3.
Well, of course, it's the Dodgers. It's going to be a tough series. It's, you know, for me, they're on home turf. Look, not for nothing, but the Rays know how to hit. First off, they have what? It's going to be Criswell, Glasnow, you said Taj?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean,
in that order. And then for the Dodgers, Syndergaard, Kershaw, and Stone in that order. So, I mean, this Saturday game, Glasnow, Kershaw, yum, 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 yum. Just eat that right up.
So is Criswell starting, and that's going to be the Fleming bulk inning guy?
Well, I mean, that's the projected starter, so I'm guessing that either he starts the game or they're going to put an opener ahead of Cooper Criswell, and then he takes the bulks.
I wonder if the Fleming pitch. So Fleming pitches coming out of that Dodgers series. Is that what I'm forgetting there?
Yeah. So he'll pitch against.
Pitched Tuesday. Yeah. So, yeah. Whatever. I'm still going 2-3 with the Rays. I'm all mixed up on where we are in the rotation, but. As I said, I'll ride with them in Tropicana Field. I get it. The Astros were able to get 2-3. They stink against the Astros in St. Pete, you know, historically. But just weird kind of having L.A. here. It's not a
– Yeah. There's a lot of bandwagon Dodgers fans. I remember the last Dodgers-Rays game I went to. It's like there is not this many people from California or have connections to L.A. Mm-hmm. What is going on here? This isn't real life.
Yeah.
I've got another question before we get into baseball trivia and name that war. And Ulysses, we discussed this earlier this week, but I want to posit it to Evan. Tyler Glasnow, rest of the season in a Rays uniform, over under 100 innings pitched.
I mean, I'll go under, just historically speaking. I go with the odds. I can't predict whether his arm's going to hold up or not, or the oblique injury isn't going to pop off. This is a guy that I don't think has rattled off like 13 consecutive starts in a major league career. So, you know, I'm just playing the odds here. But, there's a chance that if the Rays get on a roll, there's the old little IL stint to ease him up. Mm-hmm. But until Glasnow proves that he's not injury prone, I have to assume that he's going to go down at some point this year.
I love when this happens. I love when this happens because Evan usually is the more optimist of us three. We both have him over 100. So thank you for being negative Nancy today, Evan. We appreciate the change of theme, the change of mood, because it kind of freshens up the.
Hey, I'm the one that predicted 2-3 for them being the Dodgers, and you brought them down. And what I say, they've lost 4 home games. I'm going to go with the Rays. Like, I just go with what I've seen, what I know, and that's the best that I can do. Unless I teleport into Glasnow's body, it's tough to really.
It wouldn't be a bad thing to just have Tyler Glasnow's body for a couple of days. You know,
I would love to be like 6'6", 6'7".
I wouldn't mind that. Yeah, that'd be pretty great. That'd be pretty great.
Yes. All right, let's get into baseball trivia. Name that war. The Rays do face the Dodgers coming up, so I do have a Dodgers-related question. And this episode has been chock full of pitching, really exclusively pitching. I don't know if we mentioned Wander once or Randy once or Yandy once. Regardless, my trivia question revolves around pitching and Dodgers pitching. Historically, there are 13 pitchers who have thrown at least 2,000 innings in a Dodgers uniform. I need five of those names.
Say the question one more time.
13 pitchers have thrown at least 2,000 innings as a Dodger in a Dodgers uniform. And I don't think they discriminate between Brooklyn Dodgers, LA Dodgers, etc.
Interesting.
Give me five of those 13 guys who threw a lot of innings.
Kershaw.
Clayton Kershaw is number five on this list with 2.638 and a third.
Would Koufax be on that list?
Yeah.
Sandy Koufax is number 11 on this list with 2.324 and a third.
Ulysses, you want to go two?
Don Drysdale.
Don Drysdale, very good. Number two on this list with 3,432 innings.
I have one more. Fernando Valenzuela.
That would be mine.
He is number 10 on this list with 2,348 and two-thirds innings.
Oh, Evan, we got one more, baby. Come on, let's go.
Nomo?
Hideo Nomo, that is your guess. He is not on this list.
Okay.
You have Drysdale, Kershaw, Valenzuela, and Koufax.
Oral Hershiser.
Wow, yep, that's it. That's a winner.
Oral Hershiser is number 12 on this list, 2,180 and two-thirds innings. Very good, guys. I was surprised at how quickly you got these names. I'll just run through them real quickly. Don Sutton, number one. Don Drysdale, two. Brickyard Kennedy, the great, number three.
He's on my list. I love Brickyard. He's my guy.
Dazzy Vance. That'll be the name of my firstborn. Dazzy. Five, Kershaw. Six, Burley Grimes. Seven, Claude Osteen. Eight, Adonis Terry. Nine, Knapp-Rucker. These are some great names. Yeah. 10, Valenzuela. 11, Koufax. 12, Hershiser, and number 13 with 2,029 and a third innings. Johnny Padres, pitched from 53 to 66.
These are some made-up names.
Yeah, definitely. Well,
never heard of
them. Baseball Reference is lying to me.
It tends to do that when it goes after 1972. Well, guess what? You're talking Dodgers pitching. Name that war. By the way, if you've never played with us, Name That War is when we take a player from the past and we try to guess their career war according to Baseball Reference, just using our brain and our baseball archives in there. So today's Name That War player is Eric Gagne. What is Eric Gagne's career war according to Baseball Reference?
Can he come out of retirement and pitch for the Rays bullpen?
I don't know if
can't be much worse than having a 50-year-old Gagne.
Yeah,
it's probably not as much as I think. Relievers are tough to peg.
I thought so too, because the variance is very high.
Okay, then you just said I thought so too, which means maybe it's higher than I think.
Well, let me think. Ulysses, do you think I need some inspiration from Perry? My dog, Perry.
I think so. I think people would like to see Perry for a little bit.
All right. Perry, come on.
Well, Evan is thinking.
All right. Here we go. Here's
You've miniaturized. Honey, I shrunk Perry? What is this? Jeez.
There'll be some more Perry appearances.
I don't know what kind of tea you're drinking.
I know. Look at Perry.
It was from a McDonald's Happy Meal.
Oh, look at that. That's great. That's beautiful.
Okay. You got me all confused with that.
Got you all flustered.
I'm flustered. I'm going to go 27.
27.
Know.
27 for Eric Gagne. Kevin goes with
Eric Gagne. I think I'm going to Price is Right this one. 27 seems like a lot for a reliever. A lot. Like, what was Trevor Hoffman's career war? Like 29?
No way. I don't remember, but I'm going to say no way.
I'm going to say Eric Gagne. I think he probably made like four or five All-Star appearances. Probably had like 250 career saves.
Man, Hoffman was.
Well, look. I mean,
okay. I gotta change.
No. You looked that up. Billy Wagner's career WAR is like 28. I think 28.
Hoffman is 28. Hoffman's 28.
No, you can't tell him that. Now Kevin's gonna know.
Oh, I was gonna go low. Okay. Gagne, 19. That's my answer.
All right. Well, this name the WAR has been played crappily. Drop it down in the comments how Evan and Kevin did not play this right. Eric Gagne's career WAR is 11.7.
I hate you. You threw that comment and you totally threw me off and you flustered me.
He's a Cy Young winner. He is a 3-time All-Star. He was a 2-time Rolaids relief pitcher. He is a 2007 World Series champion. But yes, his career WAR is 11.7. He had a 3.47 ERA. He had 187 games saved in 643 2/3 innings. So that is Eric Gagne. Very good, fellas.
You said that's what I thought too, and it screwed me up. So
I got that change up. Look at that.
Drop in the comments how Ulysses completely asked a leading question. It was a leading question.
Leading the witness. Yeah.
He did.
Yeah, I know.
Eric Gagne, Seth McClung, anybody for the Rays bullpen. Help us out. Grant Balfour, what are you doing right now?
I know. Well, right. It's been fun. Evan, thank you so much for joining us. Please tell the people how they can get in touch with you, please.
Again, as always, you can head to 1010bay.com, but you can check me out on Twitter at eklosky WTSP. That is eklosky WTSP. I'm always dropping in some Rays nugget a day, at least. So please, you can send me questions, thoughts, your angry rants. As long as you're respectful, I'll probably respond. And you can also find me on Instagram at eklosky. And again, yeah, 1010bay.com. We have Bucks OTA starting right now. We're in the Lightning off season, so it's quiet. We got some state champions in baseball in our area. Yes, Sickles won its first ever title.
That's awesome. And
so yeah. Good for them. You know, Jesuit sadly cannot complete the back-to-back run. Plant is looking to get it done again in their storied program history. So we got a lot to talk about, and we're constantly updating that.
I'm going to say I was kind of disappointed because it's middle of the baseball season. Nothing else is really happening in the Tampa Bay area. And I'm like, oh, Klosky is head deep in Rays baseball. And yet I saw a tweet today of like, oh, I'm at Bucks practice. And I was like,
oh,
Evan,
yeah, main camp, right?
OTAs. How dare you make a football post in the last week of May? How dare you before Memorial Day? That should be illegal for baseball fans.
Well, we got a couple more on Tuesdays coming up, and then mandatory mini camp in the middle of June.
And then I'm
done for 6 weeks.
Not to be your producer here, but I need some on campus stadium news and updates.
USF is a big deal. This is the furthest that we have gotten in. I shouldn't say we. This is the furthest that USF has gotten in the process of getting an on-campus stadium. We'll know more in the middle of June, but they're on the 1-yard line. It's looking like they're going to get this thing done. Yeah. In 2026, there's going to be an on-campus stadium for USF, and hopefully this will position them well to maybe attach to a bigger conference after they got left in the dust by their rival UCF and others joining the Big 12. That was the big water in the face moment for this school.
Would have been nice to have a stadium when we went there.
Yeah, and ironically, I know we're going long here, and this isn't Locked On Bulls or Locked On USF, but the Tampa Bay Times wrote an article about the latest with the on-campus stadium and then the $340 million plan. And one of my former professors actually was quoted heavily in that article. And I'll just say that was this guy was nuts. I mean, he was way out there. He was a philosophy professor. So what do you expect? I mean, just totally off the wall.
So was he saying yes or like we shouldn't be doing this?
He was probably
he's a philosophy professor. You think he's a sports fan? I mean,
What people need to understand is that the money raised a lot of times for the on-campus stadium have nothing to do with academics. So it's like when people try to compare and contrast, like, oh, my God.
That's good to know.
Imagine some of this money should be going to academics. It's like, well, you know, this is a lot of this money is privately funded for the purpose of an on-campus stadium. So imagine, you know, you're a marketer and you're trying to target a certain audience to buy your product. It's specifically for this. They're not raising money so that, you know, you can have a new wing in the philosophy school or whatever. I don't know, business.
Well, that'd be my first act. If I was school president, I would slash and dash the philosophy department.
Get out of here. I don't support that. But people need to also understand that, you know, the money that is raised through athletics a lot of times trickles into, you know, higher enrollments, and higher enrollments equals more money, more better athletics equals more money. All that money gets filtered into the school, into renovations. And yes, it does go to athletics a lot of time, but it also filters to other areas. You know, that, you know, you get donors, you get people that come out of that, alums, and they start spending more money. There's a cyclical process. It's not just like sports over academics. It's that one makes a ton of money for the school and it can all work on one team. So, you know, that's my locked on USF rant for the
good. Thank you.
There we go. Neach Stadium. Let's make it happen.
There you go.
Hope you all have a wonderful day. Stay safe. And we'll talk to you on Tuesday. We won't have an episode on Memorial Day. So just keep that in mind. We'll be back with you on Tuesday.